They be here soon.
Enough questions, Doc. You can try again later. We're taking the boy with us.
Ryan motioned with the pistol, indicating Tarragon should move forward with JB. The boy stumbled slightly as he went, but managed a good pace. Ryan felt bad for the kid. He was banged up and hurting, that was obvious. But leaving him there for the other Celts to find was a death sentence. And, Ryan thought grimly, just maybe they could work out a trade for Mildred. Whatever troubles the kid had, they were mostly his and none of their affair. Once outside the fissure, Ryan looked over the terrain, unconsciously pulling his coat tighter as the wind ripped over him. This side of the mountain hadn't seen the sun yet, and dark purple shadows lay across days-old snow, protecting it. During the night, a layer of ice had formed, making a crust.
How'd you get in the fissure, Tarragon?
I walked over the top.
You knew the cave was here?
Yes.
Does Pepper and his bunch know?
I don't know.
Why didn't you come in the front?
I knew you were there.
How? Did you see us?
I just knew, is all.
Before we make it to the bottom, a bunch of cold hearts will be heating up our back trail and picking us off. We try to make a stand here, hold them back in the tunnel, we're only fighting a delaying action. And if they come over the top of the mountain like the boy did, we're in trouble.
Then we're going to have to get to the bottom of the mountain quicker, lover. Here. These blankets are water repellent. Bet they're awfully slick against that layer of frost and snow.
Guess we're gonna find out. Pass them around, Christy. Tarragon can use Mildred's.
It was easy to see that there wasn't any special skill needed in navigating the mountainside of snow, except the ability to grip the blankets as tight as they could with their two fists. Christy went first, spread-eagled across the blanket as it glided across the uneven snow. She managed to keep from smashing against the outcrops that thrust through the layer of snow and ice, then vanished into the forest. She reappeared and waved up that she was okay. Jack and Doc took that as their cue.
Excelsior!
Go ahead, Tarragon. Those men can't be far behind.
The boy nodded, then held the blanket before him and fell forward.
You next, Ryan. I'll cover the fissure.
Don't waste time, JB.
I'll be the next breath drawn behind you.
Ryan leathered the Sig Sauer and glanced down the incline. Tarragon was halfway down the mountainside, arms and legs waving frantically as he struggled to stay on top of the blanket. Out of control, he couldn't veer away from a rotted log canted up out of the snow like an arrow shot into the side of the mountain. The impact had to have temporarily knocked the boy senseless because he lay motionless, sprawled on the blanket. Ryan worked to gain control over his impromptu craft, finding it easier to work with all his body weight rather than trying to steer with his hands. The mountainside hammered against him as he picked up speed. He zipped down the incline like a hawk riding out a thermal. A glance over his shoulder showed that JB had been as good as his word and took to the snow only seconds after him. Switching his attention forward, Ryan saw that Jack, Christy, and Doc had found positions in the tree line and had their weapons raised, ready to provide covering fire. Shifting his weight, he aimed his descent toward Tarragon. He reached out and grabbed a tight fistful of the boy's blanket as he passed by, and Tarragon's weight slewed him around.
Whoa!
The blanket and its burden came away from the log, and they went sliding down the mountainside in a slower, disorganized heap. JB shot past them. He reached bottom before they did. The armorer had his Uzi up in a ready position almost instantly.
Good luck, kid.
Ryan released the boy's blanket and covered his head. He passed hard into the brush, smashing twigs and branches as he passed through. A tree loomed ahead. Numbness spread down Ryan's left arm as he got to his feet. He pushed out of the brush. The snow and ice had thinned out inside the forest area. Black earth, wet with dead leaves and struggling grass, turned to mud underfoot.
All right, lover?
I'm standing. Been better, though. What about the boy?
Jack has him. He's not in any worse shape than he was before.
Jack, you got point. Move us away from here. We've got a short lead, and I don't want to blow it.
Sure.
Doc ambled up to Christy and Ryan.
Christy, you and Doc give the boy a hand. If he slows you down too much, leave him behind.
Ryan, my good fellow, that would be most inhumane given the circumstances, and...
Leaving him behind takes care of us. He's got a heart of ice himself. Admits to leading these fuckers here when he knew we were here. If he hadn't done that, Mildred would still be with us.
Let's go, Doc.
Lead on, my lady, and I shall not tarry.
Fire blast. They're on to us. JP, you need a long gun to cover the rear. Doc, let JP borrow that Car 15 Christy gave you.
Of course. Have a care with that, John Barrymore. I shall be wanting it back.
Will do, Doc.
Come on, Doc. Give me a hand with the boy.
I am ever ready, madam.
How do you want to handle this, Ryan?
You fall back in stages. Cover the others as long as we can.
That'll work.
Move 50 yards out and down, then set up a position while I fall back. Stay along the tree line so you'll have a clear field of fire. If we get lucky, maybe we can add another 200 or 300 yards to what we've already got before they figure out where we've headed.
Got it.
I'll cover you.
I'm gone.
Within the shelter of the trees, Ryan turned and sprinted. He spotted the armorer 50 yards away, but couldn't see the others. He was almost even with JB, when he heard the wag engines. Sergeant George Conti, once of the United States Army, gazed at his corporal's findings. Corporal Whitaker rubbed carbon buildup from the wall across his fingertips, spreading clumps of it in thick smears. He was a ratty-looking little man, even with the spit-and-polish appearance Burroughs insisted on for all the troops. Whitaker revealed a thin, mean grin and adjusted his thick glasses.
Yeah, they were here, according to this build-up from a lantern, maybe only a few hours ago.
Could have been there for a long time, Corporal.
This stuff's still soft, sir. If it had been here as long as the rest of the materials around here appear to have been, it would be a hell of a lot harder.
Okay.
Conti didn't like the other man, and it surprised even himself by working past the Haight over the past 100 years. On some days, he was astonished that out of all of them, Whitaker was still alive. The man rubbed everybody wrong, except for Burroughs, and maybe that was the answer in itself. Whenever the Major had given a shit-duty detail, Whitaker had been there to handle it, especially the killing. Interrogation had been another skill that the little rat man had mastered. Whitaker hadn't minded using the knife or getting bloody, as he pried every secret Burroughs needed from reluctant captives.
Yep. I'll take a look around.
Do that, Whitaker. Take Henderson and Ames with you. Set up a loose perimeter guard.
Whitaker flipped Conti a nonchalant salute and went toward the other room, where they'd found the ladder leading up to the cave.
Cruz! I could have chewed a hole through the roof of this redoubt in the time it's taken you to find and light a lantern, mister.
Got it right here, Sarge.
Bring it here. Put away the flash, Charlie. Let's save the batteries.
Conti handed the lantern to Turley, who was still studying the gateway unit.
We found some recharges in the back, also a vehicle.
Cruz led Conti into the adjacent room. Conti played his flash over the vehicle, raking it from stem to stern.
Is it drivable?
Should be, Sarge. I'll have to look it over some before I know for sure.
Get it done. Let me know.
Yes, sir.
Burroughs had made sure his team had been cross-trained in a number of areas over the decades, and there wasn't a man in the group who couldn't fix most of the vehicles they had. The Major had burned it into memory that without mobility, they didn't stand a chance of rebuilding the nation. Conti returned to the main room. He was of average height, but broad-shouldered. His blonde hair was longer than regulation length, but Burroughs hadn't commented on it.
What have you got, Turley?
Well, the cranky bastard's still operational. But you climb in, you get a one-way back to White Sands. Directional programming's been gutted, just like I thought.
Any idea where we are?
No way to tell from this piece of shit, sir.
Disable it, just in case. Even if the unit's only a receiver with one point of delivery, I don't care to think about what may come through after us.
Yes, sir. Hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, that's why they made me sergeant.
Conti went into the other room containing the cryo units. He glanced at the dead man.
Wish I knew who the hell you were and what you were doing here.
He walked up to the ladder that led to the cave. Ryan Carter was out there somewhere. It might take some time, but he knew they could track the man down and terminate him with extreme prejudice. After all, if Carter wasn't going to throw his lot in with them, he was a dangerous enemy of the United States of America. One thing Sergeant George Conti didn't abide was a traitor. There were four wags, all four-wheel drive and rigged for off-road travel. Two of them had started their lives as pickups, the third had been a van, and the last a military jeep, still bearing insignia that had almost faded out. The jeep was in the lead, bearing down on Jack, Christy, Doc, and the young Celt. Two men rode in the back, hanging on behind a machine gun that was bolted to a crossbar. Doc and Christy went to cover at once, dodging behind trees, and Jack pulled Tarragon behind a boulder. He pulled his .357, resting